Hey, you got the morning show, and on Zoom, I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Good morning.
So, the district plan, the rolling monster that is the district plan. I can say monster because it's just so huge.
About 1,000 pages. Yeah.
Yeah, and been going for several years, and there's the chance they've made the new plan. There's still a chance for people to appeal against the new plan. And John, you've been keeping an eye out on appeals. And deciding yourself whether you're going to do some appeals to the district plan. What are you looking at for yourself first up?
I think it would be good to support some of the things that the Department of Conservation are asking for. So they're asking for various details on protection of nature around the district. And the other one that I spotted was somebody called John Rowe, who's a developer. And he's not in the Raglan Whangarei area, but he's generally asking that the minimum area for subdivisions ought to be reduced from 450 square metres to 400 square metres. And quite a lot of us put in submissions asking for some change to that 450 square metres for some areas. He's asking for it for the whole district, which I don't think is a good idea, because it means that there's no control over changing the character of some areas which rely on fairly large subdivisions. But there are some areas that could well be have much smaller subdivisions and therefore rather cheaper housing, rather more affordable housing.
So who does the appeal go to?
Well, you need to fill in something called a Form 14. A Form 33, then goes to the court, the Environment Court, and says that you're interested in being a party to the appeals that have been put in. And so that gives you a chance to get involved in the discussions on them.
So we had people like organisations like Kāinga Ora submitting that there should be two areas with 200 square metre size sections, like little ones like they've got in Hamilton. Do you think Environment Court might go for this as a compromise?
It's all going to be discussed probably for the next 5 years or so.
Oh, God.
And eventually the Environment Court will make a decision on some of them, and others Council will agree with whoever's appealing and either make changes or not make changes to the district plan. So that's how it's going to work.
The absurd thing about all that is that I think I said this last time I talked to you. I watched a little bit online of the council's affordable housing workshop, where suddenly they're all saying, yes, we've got a housing crisis and it looks like council might actually have to do something about it, and making positive noises. And this just after we've gone through the district plan process, where they seemed, well, whoever was running it seemed very determined not to have smaller sections or do anything about affordable housing. And they did acknowledge in the workshop that they might send their planners around the bend a little bit, but it's kind of surprising. And Fiona McNabb, who's the chair of RAP, the Whangarei Raglan Affordable Housing Project, is equally bemused as me on that.
You probably remember that I cynically remarked that it was just an attempt to develop some old gravel pits, and therefore just a one-off. And because of who it came from, it would probably get a sympathetic hearing by our council. But I'm not sure that they're inclined to be any more sympathetic on a wider scale.
Well, they were saying all the right things, which I know politicians do, but it was definitely a positive vibe toward doing something about it. I think they're now taking it seriously, possibly because someone like Simon Perry has taken the issue seriously. They pay often, certainly some of our councillors and probably our mayor pay a lot more attention to what he thinks than what people on the ground think.
He's taking it seriously for the area that he owns, but whether it's wider or not. And politicians keep saying the right things on lots of topics, but then not doing a lot about them. Climate change is a good example of that. There's a new paper just been brought out for the regional council's climate change committee, and that's got lists of all the things which are, may happen, but there doesn't seem to be much in the way of movement for regional council to make them happen, just sort of noting that they are happening. It seems to be the same probably around the world. I think that people are saying, yeah, this is a great idea, but not actually getting around to doing much about it.
Yeah, you see, there seems to be need to be a period, a long period of talk, and then when it's pretty much too late, everyone flies into a panic and does something about it. And that's probably the approach we'll be going through with both these crises at the moment.
Yeah, I was curious about the regional council one, that it doesn't mention the extreme waste idea of having some sort of solar panels up there.
Maybe they don't know about it.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's too small for what they're looking at. They just include three fairly large schemes, including one that seems to be about to happen near Huntly.
Okay, so it's like a big commercial project.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So maybe the one that Extreme's thinking about is too small. Or maybe it's not reached that stage yet, or maybe, as you say, they didn't know about it.
Mm. Can we go back to the district plan? You were telling me off the air about the sort of people or organisations who are doing appeals. Bearing in mind that people submit, they talk to it, they discuss, the district plan gets written. So people have worn themselves out, I think, with the process, which is part of the what happens. So who's left? Who's still appealing stuff with the district plan at the moment?
Well, it was also made more difficult in 2017 because they changed the rules then and said that you had to pay best part of $1,000 to get into an appeal.
Oh.
Unless you could show good reason that it was a public interest appeal that you were putting in, and then you had to jump through the hoop of that one as well. As far as I can see, the only people who are putting in appeals are those who are developers or those who are in big corporations like the regional council and like Genesis Energy and Transpower and Department of Conservation, those sort of organisations.
Mm. Have you got $1,000, John?
I have, but I haven't used it. So.
Is it $1,000 for every appeal, or does it cover as many as you want?
I didn't go into the detail of that. I think it covers as many as you want. So, yeah, I had drafted something that covered about a dozen items, but I didn't manage to get it through the Whangarei Environmental Defence decision-making system in time to get it put in. And that's, again, why I've still not got round to putting in a Form 33 for the ones that I think are worth supporting or being in on.
So do you think, I mean, is there anything significant, happening for Raglan in that area?
Well, the significance is the amount of development that's being proposed for Raglan. I think we've talked several times about how much development is coming to Raglan, because essentially there's a big belt of development, which includes Rangitahi and going across towards the Wainui Reserve, across to Hutawai Road from there.
So across the Conin Farm.
And apparently there's a Te Hutawai Road structure plan, but I've not managed to actually see what it is. I've just seen it mentioned.
So you said to me off the air that Raglan Land Company with Rangitahi is appealing something to do with that. Can you explain that? At all?
No, because I've not seen the structure plan. But they are asking the structure plan be included as part of the district plan. So whatever the structure plan says, apparently Rangitahi is interested in it being included.
Is that likely to be a structure plan that their planners drew up?
As far as I can make out, it's one that Canning family put in.
Oh, okay.
Because they own that area, they own that farm between Te Hutawai Road and Wainui Road.
But it's interesting that you use the word structure plan, because I know that our local politicians have been trying to get a structure plan for, well, Bob McLeod was, before he passed away, for years, trying to get the council to do a structure plan for the town. And it would be ironic if there was a structure plan for some bit of land outside the town, but not for the actual town itself.
Well, we've already got one for Lorenzen Bay and for Rangitahi. So this is just a third one which forms that line of development. But, and the major problem, as you say, is that we don't have one that looks at the whole of Raglan. So we don't know how these developments are going to impact. Well, we can only guess at how they're going to impact on the structure of Raglan as a whole. So how much water we've got, how much electricity we've got, whether the sewage system can cope, what's going to happen to parking, roads, cycleways, buses, all that sort of stuff. No one's looked at the impact of pushing the population up from 2,500 to 12,500 and what that impact would be on all those things.
Why the struggle with to get a structure plan? Any guesses?
Well, the council did start on it in 2009, but there was a big outcry about the high-rise buildings and the various other things that were in there.
And therefore, they
gave up on it, and they don't seem to want to come back to it.
So that was an unfortunate situation. I heard from staff at council that there was a planner who thought Raglan was going to be the next Mount Maunganui, which of course is everyone's big fear out here. And so they made up their own structure plan, then came to the community rather than doing it the other way around. And some people were rude. There's no need to be quite so blimmin' rude, but they did get the message that they'd made a mistake, but then they just never came back with it. And I questioned the process, but here we are, I guess. 2022.
Yeah, maybe one of the hopes is that we might well have a new mayor at the end of the year. We will have a new mayor.
We definitely will,
the old
yes.
one's not standing.
Yeah.
I got a note from one of the likely candidates, the current deputy mayor, yesterday.
Saying, he definitely is a candidate, John. Lisa Thompson told us last week that he will be running.
Yes, yep. There was an article in the Waikato Times about it as well. And,
okay.
He sent a note to me saying he thinks that transparency and accountability are aided by having as many as possible of council sessions, formal meetings and council workshops recorded and available for public scrutiny. And goes on to say, in a district such as ours that has extra significance, to avoid the time and commitment by locals to attend in person, yet still allows for participation. So he's saying that, yeah, there should be more openness in the way that council does things. So hopefully that will create some changes and we'll start seeing more information readily available and more consultation on what's going on to give people more of a chance to have a say. They still might not take note of what we do say, but at least they'll know what people think.
I wonder if he'd be able to enact a culture change in the council. That's quite a challenge, but a new mayor's the person to do it. A new mayor with a new CEO. John, what are the odds that we get a new CEO after we get a new mayor?
I did ask one of the senior council staff when the current CEO was retiring, and she didn't know. It can't be too long, I would think, before Gavin reaches retirement age and moves on. Obviously, there's quite a few people in the senior positions who are interested in taking that on, and that could create a change too. And it's not always been like this, because when Angus MacDonald was mayor, like all mayors, he had his faults, but at least he did do much more consultation than his successors have done. And that was only going back to, about 20 years or so. So,
He was a guy with a sunny disposition and very popular, and I think the mayor who followed him was the opposite, and that introduced a much more closed approach. But anyway, that's all for the end of the year. Should we leave the district plan now and just say over the next 5 years we'll discuss the appeal results as they come through. This is ridiculous, but anyway, that's the way it goes.
Yep. And one of the problems is that it's just such a huge document, and the number of documents associated with it are even huger. So to that extent, it's almost impossible for people to get into. And I suppose it does introduce quite a number of things which, if well implemented, could be of benefit. So again, maybe a change of mayor will show that things could be done quite well with the plan as published. And if we can manage to join in on some of the things that are being asked for example, the Department of Conservation, and if we can manage to have a discussion on affordable housing on the back of this 450 square metre one, then things might improve.
So actually, I just want to go back to that 450 square one, dropping the minimum size lot size from 450 to 400 that we think a property developer is appealing there. And you wanted to see small sections, but not universally. So actually, and you wanted to piggyback on that one, but what are you saying? Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
I'm saying in some places 400 or even 350 or even smaller would be good. But in other places, probably 450 is too small. So it depends on the character of areas. And, you know, it's a huge district, and the whole district isn't uniform, as we well know.
Yeah, one size fits all isn't quite the go.
Because on setbacks, that they're reducing the setback from 6 metres to 3 metres. They last round about 10 years ago, they... Environment Court said it would be a good idea to look at it street by street and see what needs doing, but they've ignored that and just gone for the 3 metres. So, you know, they seem to be aiming to do things on a district-wide basis when, in fact, each street is different.
I guess your approach would make the district plan even bigger, wouldn't it?
It would mean probably more work to implement it, but then less work when it came to actually looking at individual decisions, because most of the work would have been done.
Right, okay. All right, do you want to move on to the wastewater treatment plant? Is there much to say about that? The Raglan one, the one that's coming?
And presumably Lisa knows what's being talked about, but the rest of us are in that public excluded category. Although it was discussed at the end of February by the council, they had Raglan Wastewater Treatment Plant Consent Application Preparation Project Discharge Option on their agenda. That was the only information that we had about it. Otherwise, it was held in a public excluded section of the meeting.
Does that mean they're not going to tender on something, obviously?
It's a application preparation project. Quite at what stage it is, I'm not sure.
But the whole thing has been, John, the whole process for the last year or two has been an application preparation project.
Yes, so this is the discharge option. So presumably they're looking at whether they should go ahead with putting the pipe into the middle of the harbour.
Right, okay. All right, and we've discussed before how the publicly excluded system is supposed to be for when there's commercially sensitive information, like discussing tenders and things like that. That's what it's supposed to be for, but it does tend to get overused. So I'm guessing you're going to say this is one of those instances?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm hoping a change of mayor might change this sort of thing. So we might be able to talk about what's being proposed rather than just talk about the headline.
All right, what have you got for us next, John?
We've got some more detail about the airfield spending now. So it's now quite apparent that they've spent more on the airfield than they're proposing to ask us for the food waste targeted rate. And that seems to me rather a curious way of deciding on council spending. And I was interested that when on Friday you asked Lisa about how the 7290 was worked out, you didn't actually get an answer. The conversation moved on, talked about all sorts of other things.
What did I ask? I don't remember asking how it was worked out. I know how it was worked out, which is Extreme Waste says we can do it for this much, and then council puts their admin fee on top.
Okay. Because last time, a couple of years ago, they were saying it was $65. So that was
the cutthroat option that didn't allow for wear and tear on equipment or anything like that. So they were trying to make it as cheap as they possibly could. This one's probably a little more realistic about what the true costs are. So they're not like shooting themselves in the foot, basically, by doing it.
Okay, so that's the best explanation I've heard of why we've got $72.90 then.
Yes.
it still doesn't explain why the council can afford to spend about $150,000 on an airfield and can't afford to spend about $130,000 on keeping the food waste collection going.
Well, if you ask them that question, they'll tell you that those are in different departments and they can't just shuffle money between the two departments, which we know is the case, but I do get your point that they seem to be splurging on one and not on the other. My question is if the food waste is going to become compulsory in a year or two, why not just make it compulsory here now while we've got this service? I don't know why we have to go through this pantomime again, but here we are.
Because I was interested that the discussion that you had on Friday didn't seem to conclusively say if we didn't vote for it, then we would lose it. Because it is going to be very awkward for council to close it down and then a year later pick it up again. And it also puzzles me why they count the airfield as a strategic asset, but they don't count the equipment as extreme to deal with the food waste as a strategic asset, even though quite a lot of money was spent on setting it up.
What does that mean, John, strategic asset?
Well, they say they can't close the airfield because it is a strategic asset and they'd have to do extensive consultation on that. But apparently they can close the food waste collection because it's not a strategic asset.
Who's it strategic to? Is that like nationwide it's considered to be a strategic asset?
Well, it's what council decides to define it as because it covers infrastructure and all sorts of things in a sort of very generalised way, and it's then down for council to decide just what is and what isn't a strategic asset.
Okay, well, I know one way or another that's not going to be the airfield forever. I know there's people desperate to get rid of the airfield now and use the land for something else. I'm 99% confident that at some time in the future it will cease to be an airfield.
Which makes it all the odder that they're spending so much money on it now.
I don't know. Like, I haven't really talked with anyone about this because I'm at the point where I actually don't want to know about what's happening to the airfield anymore, because everything's just got ridiculously out of hand. But part of the getting ridiculously out of hand, I worry, is that council staff have got their backs up from the protest and are determined to keep doing what they're doing, whereas if there wasn't so much antagonism in the air, they might have taken a different approach. I don't know. It's just me speculating. But there certainly is a lot of antagonism around the place at the moment. And I just saw something on Facebook about the airfield, which was full of half-truths from people who don't want it to be the airfield anymore, spreading misinformation as well, which really doesn't help. I don't want to go into the details there. I can't even find it anymore. But, yeah, the whole thing's a bit odd, a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, because it seems to me that the two cases that they took to courts, they dropped, and I can't see how they're going to go on from where they are without sorting out some sort of bylaw. Because usually if you want to change the way public areas are used, then you have a bylaw change, and they just haven't done that. So I just wonder whether that's going to be their next move or quite what they're going to do next.
Well, John, do you think if we just ignore the problem, it'll go away?
Well, maybe we ignore it because we don't actually know what they're doing or what's happening.
We should stop. But back to the food waste. There was one comment I wanted to make too, of course, because there's a lot of anti-council sentiment and people might get angry, oh, no, rate council, but this is about our community and about Extreme Zero Waste, and they've been doing a fantastic job in innovation, and it's leading the way around the country. We don't want to stop the food waste pickup now just because we're a bit pissed off with the council. We've got to focus on the fact that this is one of these great things about Raglan, these innovative things about Raglan, and we keep this going until it becomes compulsory anyway.
Yes, yep.
That's my rah-rah bit there.
I think we've probably not got a lot more to say about it, except it's going to be interesting to see how many people do respond to it, because one of the problems is that for most people, it doesn't actually produce any personal benefit. Most people, well, I think probably a small large minority of people are using the food waste service, but lots of people are still doing their own composting.
I think it's more than a minority, John. People don't use it every week. So because someone went round, I remember last time we discussed this, someone went round and counted on a particular morning how many food waste bins were out, and they said, oh, that's lower than what Extreme's saying, but Extreme pointed out that people don't put them out every week. So I don't know what the stats are, though. I just point that out.
Yeah, you did have a discussion with Liz as to what the stats were, and it seems there aren't any.
that was the stats around how much money would be saved in terms of, like, if you are using the food waste, then you're using less blue bags, and how much money would be saved from that. And everyone uses such a different amount of blue bags, it was a bit hard to come up with a solid answer.
Yep. So there's certainly quite a lot of people who aren't using it and aren't going to be all that keen on paying the extra money. Looking at the advert that the council put in the Chronicle, that their main case seems to be that it gets rid of the methane emissions and therefore helps with climate change, which seems to me to be a good argument to have it as a general rate rather than a targeted rate.
So, well, listen,
for general benefit and not for the benefit of any targeted group.
Well, you're right about that, but Lisa pointed out the interview on Friday that she can't see the rural community in the district being taking to that very well. And you know that the rural part of the district does dominate at council, with the Conservative councillors there. So, I mean, she's just basically predicting how they're going to respond, I think.
Which is why we pay for the rural roads, but they won't pay for our rural waste reduction.
Yeah, well, I mean, my feeling is we need to get away from that kind of nitpicking, because this is our community and we want to support Extreme, and you do the service, you get more people, more jobs locally. Like, you know, there's the whole, it's not just about my $72.90 that my family's spending. This is part of who we are as a community, and it kind of dismays me when I hear people saying, oh, I don't want to pay that money, and what's in it for me? You know, we're part of a community. Not just a global community, but this is about our small community here in Raglan.
Yeah, like, it concerns me that council isn't making that case rather more.
Yeah, they didn't make a very...
some time to go, so maybe they will get round to it.
They didn't do a particularly good job of that, but at least they're not gagging Extreme from talking this time.
there haven't been many meetings recently, so I think we've pretty much covered everything that I've spotted that's worth talking about at the moment, as far as council is concerned.
You had some history, but did you send the history to me, John?
A long time ago, yes.
Oh.
Help me. Do you want to put some music on? I'll send you an email with it.
Yeah, I think we might do that. We might have a little break, play some ads, which I'm supposed to do, and John and I will get sorted off the air and talk to you in just a moment. John, I'm putting you on the monitor. All right, folks. Ads, just for you.